What do you think of my duck beard?
It's not exactly Ryan Gosling-esque.
Gosling is not the only duck beard out there, dude. I'm just saying.
You were the one that compared yourself to him.
In physique.
A few episodes ago.
In physique.
I can't even. There's a lot of gray. Yeah, I see a lot of gray in that beard.
It's because I've been willing it to be different colored. You know, in the office when Dwight could raise and lower his cholesterol?
Why would you want to raise your cholesterol, Dwight?
So I could lower it.
Spices.
Salt Ginger. And pepper. Ginger pepper.
Paprika pepper.
A little cayenne and pepper.
This is good that we're hitting on the
pepper. Cayenne and salt.
Hitting on the cooking theme so early.
Oh, true. Not even planned.
Now we're going to interview Chris Ledoux.
Ludeck.
Worn out Ledeck. Tape, Chris Ledoux. Lonely women and bad booze.
I'm sad. Chris, can you change your name?
It's time for the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. Serious outdoorsmen who don't take themselves too seriously.
What's new, Nate?
I'm finishing up the semester in college, doing some finals. It's been a little stressful, but I'm getting there done.
I remember those days.
Yep.
Not well.
It's not fun.
What are your papers? What are the topics of your papers right now?
So I'm going to school for criminal justice. Probably not going to use it, but it's what I've got the most credits in. But one of them is pick out a case where a police officer acted unethically or illegally, spell the case out, and then answer a bunch of questions pertaining to the book and what we've studied mm-hmm. about the case. The other one is, it's a 12-section paper, 3 questions each at 100 words per question. So 3,600 words. That one I'm...
Can you recap all those for us real quick?
No.
No, I can't.
As listeners everywhere, turn the radio dial
Absolutely
off.
Yeah,
that's, it's very boring and tedious, but it's getting me a piece of paper that I need to have in my life, so I'm doing it.
Yep.
We were touch and go on whether you were actually going to be able to make it this week. So as a precaution, we brought your sister in.
Friend of the show.
Just in case we needed another voice, and we decided to just hand her a mic since she was here anyway.
Yeah. Scraping the bottom of the barrel, I see.
We really were.
But ladies and gentlemen, friend of the show, Kaylee Henderson. Welcome, Kaylee.
Say hello,
thank
Kaylee.
You. Hi. I feel so honored to be here.
I know. She's one of our biggest fans out of obligation.
One of our only fans, really. We do have a new review this week. This is from Steve Dunn, 5 stars. The title of the review, however, is 7 stars. So I think he might feel limited by the iTunes review system.
You feel like iTunes has a...
I think it might be an antiquated system. Or Steve Dunn is a fan of like the Dog Rates Twitter account that is always rating above the rating scale. Like
15 out of 10 or something.
Yeah. He goes on to say, worthy of listening with both ears. This podcast...
That's concerning. Can we start there and say that that's concerning?
This podcast will alter your perception of time.
Wow.
Interesting.
I feel like maybe by the two ears thing, because I personally listen to the podcast while I'm at work.
With one ear?
With one headphone in, you know, so I can, if people sneak up on me, I don't get scared.
Yeah.
So maybe that's what he was talking about, which I agree.
Yeah.
Do you think he's saying that we're actually performing like time bending type stuff here?
I don't know. It feels a little passy-aggressive to me.
Does it? Stop. Please don't use that term.
Never again.
Please don't use that term.
He goes on to say that we are funny and engaging. And then he says, can't wait for the movie.
6 seasons in a movie.
Strangely enough, for the movie rights for the Cast and Blast podcast, you guys, big news I'm going to unveil tonight. Guess who is going to portray me?
Ryan Gosling?
Ryan Gosling. Thank
Shut
you,
up.
Bailey.
Jesus. In your dreams. But seriously, I would love to like cast who would play all of us in a Cast and Blast.
That would be excellent, right?
That would be awesome.
We're going to make that a segment next week if you can come back, Kaylee.
Okay.
All right.
If it's before 8.
All right, listeners, this is your call to action. If you like the show, the best thing you can do for us is go on iTunes and leave us a review. It's the lifeblood of the podcast. Please and thank you.
A 5-star review.
5 stars.
I mean, we want
or 7. We'll take 7,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, put on your creative writing hats and you might just get a mention on the show.
There you go. Okay, new segment.
Okay.
New segment. We've been doing some fun with titles, the magazine article titles, last episode and a couple episodes ago.
Florida Sportsman.
Florida Sportsman article titles. And we did, was it a Florida Sportsman article or was it a Cosmo article in last week's episode? So this week, do you know what ICAST is? Do you guys know what ICAST is?
Yeah.
ICAST is, it's basically a show for the fishing industry. So everyone comes. It's usually held in Orlando. It's been in Vegas a couple times, but it's usually in Orlando. And everyone comes into town, and they have all these booths set up. And
the exhibitors will, like, show their newest.
Yeah, it's where you would make an announcement if you're going to release a new reel or a new rod or some kind of development. Or
it's a trade show for the fishing industry.
Thank you, Nate. Yeah. Nate summed it up in, like, a sentence.
That was great.
I've been to a few trade shows in my day, and that's basically what it is.
Yeah. ICAST is, like, the be-all, end-all. So I went to the ICAST website where they have a list of their exhibitors. And then I went and Googled the top 50 lipstick color names.
What made you want to do that?
Because I thought, you know, some of these names for the fishing brands lined up really well with something random like lipstick colors. I thought that would be fun.
But how did you know that it would line up with lipstick colors?
Because my wife has been watching lipstick tutorials lately. And I was studying this for Christmas.
That is true. That is true.
Okay.
And I was studying this for Christmas gifts, and I happened to think, wow, those sound like fishing brand names.
Okay, I'm not as concerned as I once was.
So, yeah. Let's just stay out of my search history on my computer. So, here's an example of how this game's going to go, all right? For example, I'm going to say 13 or St. Croix. I'm not going to say St. Croix fishing rods or 13 fishing. I'm going to give you the name that people would colloquially refer to the brand as. Is that fair?
That's fair.
Because if I said 13 fishing, you're going to know that's a fishing brand, not a
right.
lipstick color. All right, here we go. You're going to tell me lipstick color or fishing company. Lady Danger.
That's a lipstick color.
I'm going fishing company.
Kaylee?
Fishing company.
That is a MAC lipstick color. I guess MAC is a brand.
It is.
Okay,
and
I'm looking
the
at
the reason
girls.
We didn't know that was the color is because we can't afford it.
Nope.
Okay. Anything possible.
That one's tough.
I'm going lipstick color on that one.
Lipstick.
I'll go against the flow and go fishing brand.
Nate is 2 for 2.
Oh my God.
Anything possible actually is the company that makes like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle rods. The little kids rods. They make entry level, the little short rods that, like your niece and nephew.
Like Spider-Man and stuff like that.
Hard to be salty about that.
Yeah.
Number 400.
That's the name of the thing?
Yeah.
Number 400.
I thought you were just naming a random number. Like what?
Me too. Fishing rod. Fishing company, I mean. Sorry.
Lipstick.
Lipstick.
It is a lipstick. Nate is 3 for 3. It's an Armani lipstick.
I'm real bad.
I was going to say Chanel. I feel like they like to use numbers, you know?
All right, here we go. Iconic.
I'm going to go lipstick.
Fishing.
Lipstick.
It is a, am I saying this right? Dolce & Gabbana.
Dolce & Gabbana.
Aww. It is a lipstick.
Isn't it cute?
So, Nate, you are perfect so far.
I don't know how I feel about
this. This is amazing.
I'm a little concerned.
I'm not concerned. I'm proud. All right, here we go. Cashion.
I need a spelling.
Yeah. Use it in a sentence.
C-A-S-H-I-O-N. Cashion.
Okay. Lipstick color.
Fishing.
Fishing.
It is a fishing, high-end fishing rod company. They primarily make bass rods. G. Pucci and Sons.
I'm out.
I don't know which one I want that to be.
G. Pucci and Sons.
I kind of wanted to be a fishing.
I'll go lipstick just to make it interesting.
That's Nate's first one wrong. It's a tackle company. I'm not sure what they do, though, because when you Google it, I think maybe they make P-line, which is a type of line, but I can't find them on the internet. Qualia.
Lipstick.
Qualia is a reel company. They make reels for like marlin fishing. Like big water reels. Myth.
Lipstick. I mean, the law of averages tells me if 100%. I keep guessing lipstick, I'm getting there.
Have you gotten any right?
No.
Lipstick.
Maybe one.
Myth is a lipstick made by MAC. All right. Last one. Here we go. This is probably the hardest one on the list. Sixth Sense.
Fishing.
Lipstick.
Fishing.
It is a fishing lure company out of Texas. I just want to tell you guys, Nate kicked butt at that. Like, that was amazing what you just did there. That was perfect. I hope you do that well in your finals.
Me too.
Main segment of today's show, we've done, obviously since Thanksgiving, we've been doing What I Want for Christmas. So we had our buddies over from Florida Fishing Products 2 weeks ago, and we talked about What I Want for Christmas, the Christmas list.
Yep, that's episodes 13 and 14 if you haven't listened in.
Episode 14 was What I Want for Christmas, and we had fun with just some random generic questions. That was a good episode. And today, it's What I Want to Eat for Christmas. So we're talking wild game and fish recipes, preparation tips, tricks. We're going to have an interview a little bit later in the show with Chris Ludeck, who lives in Colorado. His Instagram handle is The Hungry Hunter, @_hungry_hunter. He's been doing this for about 3 years. He's a recreational hunter just like we are. He just enjoys preparing wild game. He's got a pretty good following. You can also find him at thehungryhunter.com. So he's going to give us an interview, and we're going to talk about some mistakes that folks make when they prepare wild game and stuff. But before we get to that, let's just go around the table. And Em, what's your favorite wild game or fish dish?
Back in college, I went to Georgia one holiday break, whatever, with a bunch of my friends and stayed at one of their family's cabins. And my friend's dad had venison, and he just had like a deep fryer on the deck, and he had it cut in little chunks and he deep fried it. And I remember that to this day. It was one of my favorite things I've ever had. So wild gaminess, that's probably my favorite thing I can remember ever eating.
Okay.
And it was just a simple, you know, flour, batter, salt and pepper. And that's how most things that I like are. It's really simple salt and pepper.
Yeah, don't overcomplicate the food.
Mm-hmm, even fried fish, yeah.
I think my favorite is our every year fish fry at the beach.
Oh, yes.
Because I think it's all of it together. So like, you know, whatever fish we catch, snapper, redfish, fried with the cheese grits, with the coleslaw, with the baked beans, and everyone being together, it's just...
And what Kaylee's talking about is my family and her family, we've gone to the beach together for as long
years.
As Kaylee's been alive. So we always do on the last night of our vacation together, we always do a fish fry, and it's a big deal. And it is. That's an awesome meal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'd love that.
What about you, Nate?
So mine, I just did this recently. I took a couple of wood duck breasts and just took the breasts off the bone, skin on, hot cast iron skillet with butter. Seared it on both sides for about a minute and a half, 2 minutes.
Did each. Your mouth start watering while you were
yes,
telling the story?
It sure did. So minute and a half, 2 minutes, and then till about medium rare. You don't want to overcook ducks really at all.
That's a recurring theme in this episode.
It really is. So, and then I pulled them off and I set them on a plate and let them rest. And while I let those rest, I deglazed the pan with a little red wine, and I crushed up a garlic clove and threw it in there. And kind of just let that simmer and kind of reduce to like a sauce almost.
Right.
And then I kind of just ladled that on top of the ducks. And it was one of the best pieces of wild game I've ever had in my life.
That's big time.
I was a witness to this and I tasted it and it was delicious.
Yeah, strangely, I was a witness to the harvesting of the ducks, yet my phone did not ring for the preparation of the ducks.
You invite us to Gary's, we might invite you over for ducks.
Travis, what's your favorite wild game dish?
That's hard, man, to pick just one. But I'm going to go, this is a little different, it's seafood. Kaylee went seafood, I'm going seafood. I do really good spicy fried crawfish.
Mm-hmm. That's, we saw.
Yeah, that's one of the things my daughter asks for her birthday every year. And it's just the crawfish meat, and it's really simple. I just do some cayenne pepper and some flour to bread it. But I marinate them in Crystal hot sauce, and then I bread them in the flour, and then I flash fry them so they fry real quick and they're crispy and they're just perfect. That's probably my favorite wild game dish, and it's definitely the most popular one at my house. This is going to sound really mean-spirited towards Emily and Kaylee, but Nate, what's the best trick you have for preparing wild game? Or what's your best cooking trick?
Why is that question to Nate so mean-spirited to me and Kaylee?
Because I'm not going to ask you guys that question because...
We don't know how to cook. High five.
Yeah.
Girl power.
I wasn't going to be the one that said that on the radio, but
I will gladly admit I do not cook.
So my biggest thing would be...
Like, what's a tip that you can give if somebody listening to this? They're going to prepare some kind of wild game or fish or something. What's a tip you can give them that's like going to set them apart? It's going to kick it off.
Just don't overcook it, especially like red meat. So any of the deer species and ducks, you just don't want to... Medium to medium rare... is as far as you want to go with it. And, you know, a lot of game is ruined because it's overcooked. And when it gets overcooked, it gets tough and the gaminess kind of comes out in it. So don't overcook it. Travis, what's your one tip?
So mine is not actually wild game, but it is a complimentary dish. I'm gonna teach you the secret right now to the world's greatest cheese grits.
Okay.
This is the... Emily, back me up on this. Are these the world's greatest cheese grits?
You definitely make some mean cheese grits. Yeah.
Okay. This is the secret to the whole deal, right? This is going to bring it home. Go to Publix and in the canned soup section, wherever that is or whatever, get seafood stock and make the grits with seafood stock, not water.
Interesting.
I don't care what you're eating it with. Make the grits with seafood stock, not water. The grit like absorbs it super well. It's a little bit salty already. Do a 3-to-1 ratio grits to seafood stock. And then at the very end, right before you're going to take it off, add in like a half a cup. I don't care how many grits you're making. Add in like a half a cup of cream, heavy cream, and stir it together.
Yeah.
And at my house, we eat the yellow grits.
Okay.
And that's big time. And if you're having a girl over, if you really want to impress somebody, take some fresh corn on the cob and like scrape it off and mix it into the grits.
Interesting.
Yeah. Just okay. Boom. Emerald
that
type
sounds,
stuff right
that
there.
That sounds amazing.
I just broke it down like a fraction.
Yeah, you did.
Now everyone knows the secret to my amazing cheese. I mean, obviously, if you want cheese grits, then you throw some cheese in there. Whatever kind of cheese you have. Graham would say, Emily's grandmother, would say use whatever cheese you have.
Yeah, but she's a liar because her food is always better than anyone else's, and she won't ever tell you exactly how she did it.
Yeah, but it's probably because she has like 19 cheeses in her refrigerator.
Can't go wrong with all the cheeses.
No, use all the cheeses.
Yeah,
the baby cheeses.
The baby cheeses.
So can I tell you guys something funny? So I was doing some research for this episode, and I was going through my Pinterest to try to find recipes that I found that I might want to share or whatever. But what it showed me was the worst recipes on Pinterest is what I got as a pop-up.
Do you know
like
what
random.
Do you know what I heard right there? I heard that Emily has a Pinterest board of the worst recipes.
Right.
So, which, if you asked my kids, would seem accurate.
So, even though it's clickbait, I clicked it. And I have to tell you guys some of these because they sound horrible.
Okay.
Okay, are you ready? Bubblegum fudge.
No.
No thanks.
Nope. Mm-mm. A pumpkin spice martini.
I would try it.
Oh, I couldn't. I could not. Barbecue pulled tuna.
Oh, God.
I don't
Wait,
think
what?
So.
No way.
Do you have like more information about that?
I have lots
I have
of
a
questions.
Picture. It looks like someone already ate it.
Oh.
No,
no
thank
you.
Hang on. Cheetos marshmallow crispy treats. So instead of Rice Krispies, they use Cheetos.
I'm not going to hate that what? Until I tried it.
Big with marshmallows?
No way.
It's Cheetos, though. Where can you go wrong with Cheetos? Are Cheetos a chip? We've gone completely off the rails here, but are Cheetos a chip?
Yes.
Like if you say I want a bag of chips, do Cheetos count?
I mean, they're not. Oh, you can't call them potato chips, but I think they are in the category
when
of
I
chips.
Go to Firehouse and I order a combo with chips, I get Cheetos.
Right, but I don't think they should count as chips. I think maybe they're their own entity. I just think Cheetos are maybe a standalone thing, and we need to start treating them as such.
I wouldn't call them chips, I guess. I just always
call
them Cheetos.
Like, let's be formal about that.
But I don't call Doritos chips either. They're Doritos.
If I say, hey, when you go in Firehouse, will you grab me a bag of chips? I expect you to come out with some sour cream and onion, because that's the only chip choice
no,
that's
Mrs.
correct.
Vicks,
jalapeno cheddar.
Chips.
Yeah, you're just going to have to sit there and be wrong for a second.
Objectively, that's the only choice.
But if I want you to come out with Cheetos, I don't say grab me a bag of chips. I say grab me some Cheetos.
True.
Right?
Yeah.
So as a show, and this is important to the outdoors industry, I feel like, as a show, can we agree that they should be referred to as Cheetos going forward?
I don't know anyone that refers to them as chips.
Yeah, no one was picking that fight with you.
Okay. I just felt like it bared clarification.
Like, I'll pick a fight with you, but this isn't one of them. Okay. I'm all about it.
Hang on. There's two more I want you to be aware of. Three more. Barbecue pulled pork cinnamon rolls.
What?
H no.
I'm in on that.
Salty sweet peanut butter caramel funky Fritos.
I think I'm in on that.
So you're telling me you're not in on a pumpkin spice martini, but you're in on a Cheeto Rice Krispie treat?
Yeah, I think I might be.
The last one. This one's so upsetting to me. Weird and wonderful bologna cake.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Can I see that one?
Yes, you can.
Because I like me some bologna.
If it has weird in the title, I'm out.
Yeah.
I think I might be in on that, too.
No.
It's slices of bologna.
With mayonnaise in between?
With I don't know if it's mayonnaise or not.
It's something white.
You know what that reminds me of?
On a cracker. You know what would be better is if on that bologna cake you fried it for a minute.
It's ranch dressing.
Boom.
No, thank you.
I love ranch dressing, but no.
Slices of bologna held together with a ranch dressing icing.
Did you say bologna?
I did. I said bologna.
That's not what it's called.
Phonetics.
If you make any of those, will you please leave us a comment on social media at CastAndBlastFL, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tell us about your life? Like, I need more.
I have so many questions.
I want that cinnamon roll pulled pork thing.
Nope.
That sounds big time.
You think it's going to be a good sweet salty mix? That's not a
good
sweet
salty
mix.
I'm having that for breakfast Christmas morning.
Oh my gosh.
We asked on social media over the past couple weeks. We did a mini contest. our friends over at Darkwater Calls said they'd supply us with some hat if we wanted to send those to the winners of our contest if we used anybody's recipes on the air. So with that, Kaylee, why don't you read us through these?
So Tim Smith submitted venison/bacon burgers. So it's ground venison, Italian breadcrumbs, Dale's steak seasoning, Texas Pete hot sauce. You mix them all together and grill it. That sounds amazing.
Well, add pepper jack cheese and bacon strips. I mean,
that is the cherry on top of
the
recipe.
I've never seen any kind of burger recipe that has hot sauce in it. Like, I'm kind of intrigued.
Yeah, I think every burger recipe should now have hot sauce in it.
Agreed.
I mean, I'm a little biased because he is my uncle, but...
Yeah, this is Uncle Tim.
I feel like this is a winner.
We say the term OG in every episode. That's one of the Easter eggs for our listeners. Uncle Tim is the OG,
the absolute OG of
gas station hot dogs. But also any kind of gastrointestinal distress causing...
And like gas station taco stands too.
Oh, anything.
Like he discovered taco trucks before taco trucks were cool.
He was eating at taco trucks in like 1984.
Yeah.
He's a rock star.
Yep.
Brian Cottingham said trout almond sea trout fillets, then sliced almond, salted butter, saute the trout fillet in the butter, heat the almonds up in a separate pan with olive oil, and then the almonds break down into an oily sauce. Remove from heat and drizzle sauce and almonds over the filet.
Yeah, this sounds pretty amazing.
That sounds really good.
I think that's going on my list to try.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try that.
I didn't realize, I mean, I don't know this from this description that Brian gave us, but I didn't realize that you could get oil from almonds. I mean, I think I kind of knew like you get peanut oil and stuff like that. But
apparently you can milk almonds too. Almond milk.
I love almond milk.
I got nipple Sue Focker.
No.
Can you feel me?
Sorry, children.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Edit.
Terry Griffin said 1 cup of red wine, Pinot preferred. 1 cup Worcestershire sauce. Half cup soy sauce, cup of water, 5 garlic cloves minced, 1 whole jalapeno diced with seeds, pinch of red pepper flakes, 2 tablespoons chili powder, 2 teaspoons garlic powder, 2 teaspoons onion powder, salt, and pepper. Mix together in bowl. Throw duck breast or the whole duck in. Marinate for up to 2 days.
Yeah, Terry's a friend of the show. He's a big-time listener.
Yeah, big listener.
Good guy. USMC. He's a former Marine. Just a good family guy. But this recipe right here is like, this is gold for duck marinade.
I'm into this right now.
And I've seen pictures of him marinating this duck. He's not invited me over, which I'm a little resentful of. Yeah. Actually, he has invited me over for this. I just haven't been able to go. But he marinates it, and there's like slices of jalapeno floating in the bowl.
I've seen pictures of that.
It looks amazing, man. It looks like whatever you take out of that's going to be... Like, I think you should marinate almost everything in this.
This could be a end-all, be-all marinade for all...
That's what I'm saying, not just wild game. Like, maybe you should throw some chicken in there and stuff.
Chicken would be great in that.
And up to 2 days to marinate? That's big time right there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, Terry also said if you overcook it and it tastes like liver, not his fault. Do not blame him.
That was my tip.
If you don't do overcook it and it tastes like liver, let us know and we'll give you Terry's number.
Right.
you can contact him directly.
The last one is from Tyler Pike. He says duck breast, he soaks them in salt water /sometimes buttermilk for 2 days. And on the third day, he lets them sit in Dale's marinade for 30 minutes to an hour. He wraps them in bacon and grills them. Tastes like a bacon wrapped filet mignon.
Now those wood ducks I cooked the other day tasted like steak.
Yeah. Tyler's onto something here. Tyler and I, we're going to hunt together this season for the first time, but he knows he's a duck slayer a little bit friend of the show. If he's telling you what to do here, you need to do what he's saying.
Yeah.
I've never had anything marinated in Dale's that tasted bad.
Correct.
Dale's is like the ultimate seasoning, really.
Like, it's almost like, why try other stuff? Because why mess with stuff that works?
Except for maybe Terry's a marinade.
Yeah, I like the jalapenos in there. Like, I feel too. Like that'd be super good.
I like spicy stuff, so I'd be into that.
We get something I get asked a lot. This is free, no extra charge for this on the podcast. But something I get asked about a lot is how long can you leave ducks before you clean them? And my rule at my house is 7 days. We'll leave them for 7 days in the beer fridge in the garage. Like whole ducks with their little feathers and fur.
Wrapped in a Publix bag.
Yeah. And then we'll clean them. And then at that point, I will still marinate them for 2 days or soak them in buttermilk for 2 days or whatever. So when you think about it, like beef you get at the store or whatever, it wasn't killed yesterday. Like it took some time to get there. So
right.
when you're talking about wild game, you've got a little bit more time to prepare it and stuff. But the old timers said they would age ducks. They'd hang them by the neck off the front of the house until they actually fell, till the neck rotted through. That's how long they'd age the duck before they cleaned it.
Yeah. That might be a little much.
Luckily,
does that seem excessive?
Now that we have the modern convenience of electricity, I don't think we have to do that anymore.
Right. They also had a toilet in their backyard.
Right.
So we don't do that either.
Thank you so much for all of you. We had tons of comments with great recipes, and we really love the dialogue on social media. Tim and Brian and Terry and Tyler, we'll be reaching out to you guys to send you your hats.
Thank you guys so much for your submissions.
You heard us talk about our recipes. We've had you all chime in on social media for what works for you. But now we're going to talk to a professional. We have Chris Ludek from The Hungry Hunter.
Yeah, we got a ringer.
A ringer. So he called in and chatted with us about do's and don'ts for wild game and fish and gave us some tips and tricks. So listen in with our talk with Chris.
Hey, Chris, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing well. How are you, Travis?
Good, man. Tell us a little bit about yourself. Like, you're a recreational hunter, fisherman, and you like to cook, right?
Yeah, I love cooking. I grew up, you know, hunting and fishing. I'm from out west here. I grew up in New Mexico. A lot of hunting elk and hunting mule deer, a little bit of duck hunting, and then moved up to Colorado. I've been here for about 10 years, so still pretty much the same hunting. A lot of elk, a lot of mule deer. I hunt a lot of geese up here in Colorado.
Primarily
yeah, mostly big game. I love small game hunting. It's kind of weird living in Denver. There's so many people to try to hunt small game. You're fighting the orange army, you know.
I understand.
So mostly stick to big game to fill the freezer.
So tell our folks where they can find you on Instagram or the internet or.
So I have a Facebook page, which is just The Hungry Hunter. It's kind of linked. We also have an I Hunt Colorado Facebook page. It's pretty big. There's like 30,000 members or something in there. And then on Instagram, it's the_hungry_hunter.
All right. So we got a few questions for you because we're talking the title of this episode. We've done What I Want for Christmas the last 2 weeks. Today, we're talking What I Want to Eat for Christmas. So we felt like we need to bring in a ringer. So tell us what's your favorite wild game or fish or seafood recipe?
My favorite is probably making like venison heart tacos. Or antelope heart tacos, like those two things. I think it's like a combination. Like when you're eating heart, to me, it's like a taste of success. That's like the first thing we always eat when we get an animal. It never gets thrown in the freezer. I mean, it's the very first thing. So one thing, you're successful, so you're already happy. And then heart's one of those things people look at and they're like, oh, I don't know about that. But at the end of the day, it's just a muscle. So it literally just tastes like meat. It's not like an organy, like eating liver or something like that. So just slice it up, grill them up nice and medium rare and put them on tacos. And I've never had anyone that ate that dish that wasn't just amazed at how good it is.
Yeah, and I saw you mentioned deer and antelope. I think you also have done bear, right? Because you guys have a big bear population.
We did have a big bear. I actually I didn't cook that heart yet. My buddy has it in his freezer. He's the one that shot the big bear. So I'll have to get back to you. I wasn't sure, you know, bear or heart, I always cook medium rare, and I know with bear you have to worry about trichinosis and cooking everything heavy.
Yep.
So I've still been the jury's still out on whether I can cook that bear heart the way I want to, or if it's going to have to be like a long, slow cook to get it up to temperature.
We'll have to check back in with you, see how that turns out. So that's interesting because that kind of segues into another question that we all wanted to ask you. And that is, what are some mistakes you see folks making with wild game when they cook it or prepare it either way?
I think the number one thing is, you know, people that cook things, I mean, I always took the approach, like I never take someone's word for it. Like, when I first moved here and we started hunting a lot of Canada geese, people are always just like, oh, you know, they just need to be made into jerky. Like, that's like the only thing you can do with them to make them taste good. And, you know, once you cook them, it's just everything has to be cooked its way. Like, you can't cook a goose like a chicken. And I think that's where people go wrong. They think it's a bird, so everything has to be cooked that way. But, I mean, a goose, you almost have to prepare more like a steak. You know, you got to cut out the silver skin and grill it. And, you know, if you go over medium rare on like a goose or a duck, it's just going to get that minerally taste. So it's just learning about the animal and cooking everything the way it's meant to be and not just kind of grouping everything the same way, I think, is one of the main mistakes. And then another is just temperature. Like people, you know, they're always guessing, throwing stuff on a grill. I mean, I get a great thermometer off Amazon for like $10, and I still use that thing all the time. And I cook, a lot. I think I could probably do it without it. But, you know, it's better to be safe than sorry. Just know the temp that you like and take it to that and really focus on getting into that right area and then resting it. That's, I think, the second biggest thing is always resting meat. Like, breaks my heart. I see these great, like, backstrap pictures on Instagram or Facebook, and it's sliced and it's nice and medium rare, but then you just see all that juice at the bottom. It's sitting in like a pool, and it's like, man, if you would have just let that sit there for like 10, 15 minutes, it would be such a juicier piece of meat once you're eating it.
Because all that flavor would absorb back into it, right? All that juice would stay in the meat.
Absolutely, yeah. Right when it's getting heated up, you know, those molecules and everything's bouncing around so fast. You cut it open, it just seeps out. And if you just give it a little bit of time, it just reabsorbs, and the muscles actually, I don't know what the word is, they're tense while it's cooking, so it kind of relaxes the muscle.
Okay.
So it's even more tender by letting it rest also. So you're going to get a juicier and more tender piece of meat by just resting it and letting it kind of just chill without messing with it for about 10, 15 minutes.
So this is not, obviously this is not a one size fits all, but talk for just a second. You mentioned temperature, and that's something I stay on people all the time because I do a lot of waterfowl charters, and I'm always like, treat it like a steak. You don't want to overcook this meat. So that's pretty common sense for my perspective. A lot of folks don't know that. And then also I tell them, yeah, you know, rest your steaks just like, or rest your duck just like you would your steak. But you mentioned temperature. When you're cooking something like goose or deer or whatever, and I know it's obviously different, so talk about that for just a second. What temperature do you look at if you're going to grill a goose breast or a piece of venison steak?
For goose and ducks, I like mine like, I'd say it was more like a medium rare plus. Like for venison, I like definitely medium rare, maybe even closer to rare. For goose and ducks, I feel like the texture gets a little bit better the closer you get to that medium side. So I like to take geese and ducks anywhere to around 135 to 138-ish in that range.
Okay.
And I like venison anywhere between like 130 to 135 in there. So like the lower end of that spectrum. To make it easy, I mean, if people just remember 135 is pretty much going to be medium rare and 140 is going to be medium, that's a good, you know, rule to live by that will get you through and get you some solid meals.
Do you sear your meat? Do you like to get it on a hot heat first and then sear it to like trap the juice in it? Or do you, I mean, I know that's a loaded question.
I do. So I recently just picked up one of those sous vide cookers, which what sous vide is you put some meat just in a vacuum seal bag, seal it, and you drop it in a water bath, and this sous vide, what it does is it takes the water to the exact temperature you want the finished product to be. So it pretty much cooks it perfectly to, say, 133 from edge to edge. It's just one solid thing, and then you take it out. And I do sear it once I take it out of there in a cast iron pan for just like 15, 20 seconds because that browning really imparts a lot of the flavor and makes it really good.
So you just get that cast iron skillet real hot.
Yeah, I get a smoking hot cast iron skillet, and then I'll just, right before I throw the meat in, I'll just drop a little bit of oil in there, maybe a little butter, and just maybe 15, 20 seconds on each side. So it's not really cooking it through. It's just searing it. And I know a lot of people that will do the same thing with the blowtorch. They'll just, instead of even heating up a cast iron, once it comes out of the sous vide, they'll just put it on a rack and blowtorch it and get it nice and brown on the outside.
Yeah, like it's almost like a butane torch, right?
Yeah. Yeah, they sell them. You can get a little like cooking butane torch, or even I get mine. I'm going to go pick one up at Home Depot. A
couple more questions for you. What's the weirdest thing you've eaten so far? And you talked about on one of your, you talked about deer balls. Is that true?
Yeah, buck nuts. They're pretty good. I mean, they taste like, I don't know if out here Rocky Mountain oysters are a big thing.
I've had those, but I don't know that our audience has. I've had them when I was in Colorado. So just, I mean, it's testicles, right? It's deer testicles or.
Yeah. So yeah, they're deer testicles, and you know, it's more of like a texture thing. Like think of like a tender piece of, like, you guys are in Florida, right?
Yes.
So it's like when I was in Florida, the only thing I saw there on menus I couldn't get out here was like conch.
Okay.
It has like the texture, like a really, if you had like a really tender slice of conch, it's kind of like that. And then it just has like a mild, you know, like almost fatty flavor, like almost if you were eating like a piece of pork, just like it's more of a texture thing. I mean, it's really good. I like trying to eat any part of the animal that I can.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love the nuts are good. And as far as weird things, I'm trying to think. I know I'm always down to try anything. I have eaten some weird stuff. I watched, I'm sure everyone knows that Meat Eater show.
Yeah, Steve Rinella, we're big fans.
Yeah, he cuts out the fat behind a deer's eye and takes a bite raw. So I tried it with this last deer I shot, and it tastes like raw bread dough. It's the weirdest thing. I don't know how you'd make a dish out of it or if it's a delicacy, but yeah, like behind the eye, there's just this white fluffy fat, and I wanted to try it. And yeah, it really just tastes like you ate a piece of bread dough, like yeasty and.
Wow.
Very interesting.
Wow. So yeah, I think I'm out on that. I'm not eating any kind of deer eye fat. Let's call it that. So I'll transition us into this question, which is a little bit I think a fun one. What's a game or a fish that you haven't tried yet that you'd like to try?
I hadn't tried gator, but I have a friend that lives in Florida, and he actually killed a gator last year and sent me some. That was really good. I got that one crossed off. I've never had like wild or bighorn sheep. It's okay. A really hard tag to draw out west here, so, and I've heard great things about it. I heard it's nothing like, it's very different from venison or elk, so bighorn sheep I'd really like to try. I'm a huge seafood fan. I love fish, so anytime I go anywhere near the coast, like, I just eat fish the entire time. So I've only ever caught one fish out of the ocean, which was a redfish, and that was delicious. So I'd like to really try all the fish you guys have in Florida, like the groupers and the snappers and all that stuff. I hear great things. It's just here in the Midwest, you don't really get them.
Yeah.
Fresh, they don't send them out. You know?
Chris, man, I appreciate so much you taking the time to call in and share some tips with us. Tell us one more time, what's your Instagram handle?
So Instagram is the_hungry_hunter. And then I also have a bunch of recipes on my website, which is just thehungryhunter.com. Tons of recipes on there for elk, deer, and fowl and things like that.
Chris Ludeck, everybody. Thanks a bunch, Chris. We appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you, Travis. Have a great one.
I'm William Thompson, and it's time for the 2-Minute Will. Welcome back to the 2-Minute Will. First question, what is your favorite Christmas food? Travis, you answer first.
I'm a purist. At heart, I'm a purist at Christmas.
Okay.
So I answered this for Thanksgiving. I talked about the chocolate pie, and I'll have one of those at Christmas as well, and I'll put on an eating exhibition.
Okay.
However, I love ham. And at Christmas, we usually do, you know, I mean, we're purists. We do a turkey at Thanksgiving. You do a ham at Christmas.
Right.
There's just something about ham. Like, you don't eat that a lot, but you love it when you eat it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then, like, you eat it for, like, 4 or 5 days, and then you put it into a pot of greens, and you make greens with the ham hock and black-eyed peas for New Year's Day. You use the ham hock from Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That's big time, dude.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
That's a pro move.
So, my favorite Christmas food is... My mom always makes monkey bread for breakfast.
Ooh.
And if you don't know what monkey bread is, it's a bunch of biscuit balls stuck together in a bundt pan and with like cinnamon and butter and sugar and all kind of goodness. And
it's like homemade cinnamon rolls almost, but like you like pull it apart.
Yeah, you pull it apart in like these little gooey little biscuit balls, and it's amazing.
That's so big time.
That's my favorite Christmas.
Is your mom sneaky an underrated cook all of a sudden?
Nah, I wouldn't call her underrated. She's a great cook.
Yeah, that's what I feel like. I feel like she's a good cook.
She's been a great cook for years.
Has she?
But I mean, you don't live in my house. So,
but I've eaten at your house a lot in my life.
That's true.
You feel like this information has been withheld from you for
I feel like maybe
years.
It was, yeah, I feel like maybe that snuck
you
up
missed
on me.
Out. You missed out a little bit.
What about you?
My favorite Christmas food. Food in general, cheese and crackers, cuz I love my cheese and crackers.
This kid has problems.
I know. Also, based on the next question, you'll probably think I'm even more problems, and you'll probably go see
the next question?
Doctor. Do you like ice cream?
Which, go ahead, do you like ice cream? I know the answer to this.
I do not like ice cream, and I am going to show myself out now.
Yeah. This is the only kid I've ever met that doesn't like ice cream.
Thanks, everyone, for listening this week, and special thanks to Chris Ludeck for coming on the show and sharing all of his cooking wisdom. If we missed a recipe or a tip or a trick that you know, please leave us a comment on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at Cast and Blast FL. Don't forget to go to iTunes and leave us a review. We will be best friends forever, and you might even get featured on the show. I'm Emily Thompson.
I'm Travis Thompson.
I'm Nate Henderson.
I'm Kaylee Henderson.
See you guys next week.
You're listening to the Cast and Blast Florida podcast. The podcast is the brainchild of Travis Thompson and Nathan Henderson. All production and editing is done by Emily Thompson. Make sure to subscribe to us on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review on iTunes, and follow us on social media at Cast and Blast FL.